Welcome to Through the Word, leading you on a journey through the entire Bible, one chapter at a time. Today, Bill Welsh guides us through the New Testament book of Acts. Now to Pastor Bill.
Hi, this is Pastor Bill, and welcome back to our study through the book of Acts. This is Acts chapter 23 today. You know, when we were kids, most of us thought we were indestructible. We did foolish things without ever thinking, hey, I could die doing this. How would you like it if you had inside information from a reliable source that told you, hey, stop worrying, you are indestructible, at least for now? Well, in effect, that's what the Lord has been telling Paul. He'll tell him again in this chapter. And I believe that's what gave Paul his courage and his confidence. He knew his mission, and he knew he was not done yet. He knew it would not end here in Jerusalem. So he continues here to declare the gospel to his captors and even to his enemies. Chapter 23 finds Paul standing before a powerful religious council made up of both Sadducees and Pharisees, the two major factions of the Jews at that time. One was rather liberal and one was very conservative. And remember, Paul knows many of these people by name. And so he begins again to try to reason with them in verses 1 through 10. And it doesn't start so well. As soon as he begins to speak, telling them that his conscience is clear, the high priest, a man by the name of Ananias, he orders those standing next to Paul to smack him in the mouth. Well, Paul rebukes the high priest, even calling him a name. He said, God is going to strike you, you whitewashed wall, and then points out the high priest's hypocrisy of ordering Paul to be struck contrary to the law. When the attendants of the high priest confront Paul for speaking against their leader, Paul says something a bit confusing. I didn't know he was the high priest. Oh, really, Paul? Well, that is possible. They did change quite a bit back and forth on who was the reigning high priest at the time, so maybe Paul didn't know this one was now the presiding priest that year. Or Paul may be saying, I don't recognize your authority. Either way. But read the next section, verses 6 to 10, very carefully as Paul gets down to business, noticing the crowd is made up of those opposing religious parties, Pharisees and Sadducees. Paul takes sides. He says, brothers, I am a Pharisee, a son of Pharisees. It is with respect to the hope and the resurrection of the dead that I am on trial. Why was that such a big deal? Because while the Pharisees did believe in the resurrection, the supernatural, and angels and spirits, the Sadducees did not. You can imagine what happened. The Pharisees actually begin to defend Paul, while the Sadducees obviously were still intent on killing him. The argument became so heated that once again, the commander had to send men down to gather Paul up to save his life. Poor Paul, he's the center of conflict again. And so the following night, he has yet another vision or a dream where the Lord tells him this, cheer up. He says, take courage. For as you have testified to the facts about me in Jerusalem, so you must testify also in Rome. And then for the rest of this chapter, that journey toward Rome begins, though it will take years to get there. First move, a posse of 40 men vow that they will not eat or drink until they have killed Paul. Now, if there are any laugh lines in the Bible, this has to be one of them, because you will see between verses 12 to verse 22 that these poor guys fail miserably to kill Paul. So I wonder how hungry these 40 guys got before they gave in and had a falafel at a local falafel stand. Well, God is watching out for Paul, so you'll see how these assassins, the Jewish council, the Roman soldiers, and even Paul's own family members in Jerusalem are all used by God to move Paul just one strategic step closer to Rome. The Roman commander hears about the scheme to kill Paul, and somewhere between 9 p.m. and midnight, he sends him off on a wild ride from Jerusalem to Caesarea, about 60 miles northwest, up on the coast of the Mediterranean Sea. And he sends him with 470 guardians, soldiers, horsemen, spearmen, and Paul gets to ride high on a Roman horse all the way to Caesarea up on the coast. Well, in verses 26 to 30, read the letter that the commander Claudius Lysias sends to the governor Felix, explaining why all these Roman soldiers were assigned to one unarmed Jewish tent-making preacher. The letter tells Felix to expect Paul's accusers to show up soon to state their case against him. The governor seems like a fair enough guy, level-headed, patient. He reads the letter. He meets Paul, asks him where he's from, and tells Paul, I'll give you a hearing when your accusers arrive. And then rather than locking Paul up in a dungeon or the common jail, verse 35 tells us he commanded that Paul be guarded in Herod's praetorium. Well, what's a praetorium? Well, typically it was a beautiful palace, and it's Herod's praetorium. And so it's really beautiful, like everything that Herod built. This is like staying in a 6-star hotel. It just probably doesn't get much better than that in that day and age. Maybe not in Herod's private quarters, but still, this was not bad lodgings for Paul, the prisoner. So Paul waits for his accusers, and during that wait, which we'll see turns out to be about 5 days, Paul had to be reflecting on the goodness of God, his protection, his provision, and most of all, his plan for Paul that was continuing to unfold. This was all happening exactly how God had promised: arrest in Jerusalem, assaulted, then the road to Rome begins to open before him. He won't have to raise funds for this mission trip either, because Rome is going to pay the bills. Well, the main message of this chapter is what we would call the providence of God, a promise followed by provision to fulfill that promise. That's what God's providence is all about. The key verse, I would say, is verse 11, where the Lord comforts the apostle by telling him, and this is my paraphrase, cheer up, mate. Great job there in Jerusalem. Now buckle up. You're going to Rome. And off he goes. Well, be encouraged as you read this story that God, who has called you to follow him, will also demonstrate his providence in your life as well. So cheer up. He'll get you to where he wants you to be, and he'll cover the expenses too. God will always provide for what he calls us to do. So keep trusting Jesus and keep fearlessly following him. God bless you as you study chapter 22.
Join us next time on Through the Word as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. Start your own journey through the Bible with our web and mobile apps at throughtheword.org. Our apps are free and free to share, so tell your friends and take the journey together. Bill Welsh is the senior pastor of Refuge in Huntington Beach, California. You can find information and links for all of our teachers on the website. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word.